Mr. Omani began by addressing the notion that Iran is conducting secret nuclear weapon research by saying that Iran is a member of the International Atomic Energy Agency and has signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty, unlike Israel, which secretly possesses over 200 weapons and is not a signatory. He went on to describe the recent maneuvers within the agency.
The United States has brought pressure on the agency and its governing board to pass a resolution stating that Iran is in violation of the NPT, a charge unsubstantiated by proof, and must be referred to the United Nations Security Council for possible economic sanctions. And what has been Iran's response? Iran, in addition to allowing regular inspection by the IAEA, has accepted the additional protocol, which permits the nuclear agency to inspect any nuclear site without prior warnings.
The issue of Iran's nuclear program is not new. In the 1970s, West Germany started construction of a nuclear power plant in Bushehr, which was abandoned on the eve of the Islamic Revolution. Since then, Iran has sought to find other partners to resume its nuclear energy program. In the late 1990s, Iran and the Russian Federation contracted to build a 1,000-megawatt plant in Bushehr. But things are becoming more complicated. Spent fuel can be used to produce nuclear weapons. And under international pressure, Russia set new condition on its delivery that nuclear waste be returned to Russia. As negotiations and maneuvers dragged on, Iran decided to install a conversion plant in Isfahan, the first step in the enrichment process. Again, Mr. Omani.
The United Nations Monitoring Agency has visited the Iranian nuclear facilities innumerable times in the last 2.5 years. Throughout this long period, the United States has adamantly claimed, without a shred of proof, that Iran has a plan of producing nuclear bombs and therefore must be denied the right of uranium enrichment. The Iranian response to the resolution was an ultimatum that, should it be referred to the United Nations Security Council, it may decide to withdraw from the IAEA and its membership in the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. It was at this point that George Bush and Tony Blair of London declared that no measure with regard to Iran is off the table. In other words, they were implying the use of force and war against Iran.
But Mr. Omani said it will not be as easy to marginalize Iran as it was Iraq, because Iran has extensive economic relations with both Europe and Asia.
And now an old, all too familiar argument is being resurrected to bring countries into line with U.S. domination plans for the Middle East, that Iran cannot be trusted and must be thwarted in its plan to develop nuclear energy. Both Russian and Chinese leaders have numerously stated that Iran has an inalienable right to the uranium enrichment process within the framework of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. And also, they dissociated themselves from the new scheme of Washington and London. The problem for Washington and London is that the composition of the board will change by November 24th, and the newcomers will be Cuba, Belarus, and Syria, who certainly will be on the side of Iran. Furthermore, in mid-October, Condoleezza Rice admitted that the United States might lack a sufficient number of votes to pass a second resolution for referring Iran by a certain deadline to the United Nations Security Council.
Consequently, Mr. Omani says, Iran is standing in the way of U.S. complete domination of Middle Eastern oil, which Vice President Cheney once said is the key to exercise a stranglehold over the global economy. For the WBI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.